Welcome to the world's first Straight Talk Solarcast. This is your go-to podcast for answers about solar. Brought to you by Solar Harmonics in Northern California, who invite their customers to own their energy by purchasing a solar panel system for their home, business, or farm. Each episode, we discuss questions facing people making the decision to go solar. The solutions to your questions are given to you straight by one of the leading experts in the solar industry, Jamie Duran, president of Solar Harmonics. Feel free to search our library for answers to questions that you're facing when considering solar. And now, here's Adam Duran, our host with the questions, and Jamie Duran, our solar expert with Straight Talk Solarcast.
Hello, 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 Jamie.
Hello, Adam.
All right. How's everything going today?
Oh, it's going good. All kinds of craziness going on. But I first just wanted to thank our listeners. Holy cow, we're getting such amazing feedback this week on the podcast. It's fantastic.
All right. I like to see those numbers climbing. That's great.
Yeah, I can't believe that. But it, I mean, we actually even saved a client from entering into, I think, either 25 or 35 year solar lease.
35 years?
35 years.
Oof, was that with Rumpelstiltskin as the solar company? I want your firstborn too.
Wow. I don't know, but it's getting nuts out there. So we are literally saving people from themselves, saving people from going into really bad agreements or making really bad choices. And, you know, one customer put it to me that this is probably maybe the second or third biggest purchase that someone can make that has to do with their house. And so,
oh yeah,
you know, this is something that lasts for 30 years or more. So making the right choice is, it's definitely worth doing the research.
Yeah, I mean, that's... 35 years. I didn't know they would go up that high. Wow.
I didn't know that solar panels were even warranted for that high. So it's I don't know the reasoning, but that person was almost going to sign up for 35 years. So
that's got to be against some kind of solar rule, like some kind of home improvement rule. No.
No. I don't know. I haven't heard of these super long solar leases.
Oh my God.
We did talk about the Solar Consumer Protection Guide.
Right.
In this podcast, and that just, it has people have their, you know, just has to make sure that this person is aware that, you know, in the future, it could make selling your home way more difficult, that you mm-hmm. are forfeiting the 30% tax credit and all this other stuff that, you know, seems pretty, you know, the things that I take for granted that seem like no brainers are still really being pushed out there. And I'm glad to get the feedback from our listeners that mm-hmm. our podcast is actually helping.
Oh yeah. I see those comments and I see those messages and from not just from customers, but like other solar installers and salespeople going, oh, I'm so glad I didn't choose a place to work for that does leasing. Cause then they can go to sleep at night.
Yes. And plenty more. That's for sure.
Yeah, but that's great.
This week, I wanted to talk about our best friends and our worst enemies over at PG&E.
Oh, okay.
They're certainly our best friends because they really make it easy to sell solar.
Yep.
But we've noticed just in this last couple of weeks that kind of the mindset of our client has changed. And that's all thanks to PG&E.
Hmm.
And what do you mean by that? Yeah, is that in the past, you know, when we're going through the solar process with a client, most of their questions are financial. They want to know how much is the system going to save, you know, kind of what are the benefits of going solar, but it's really more of a financial decision that we're reducing their electricity costs going forward.
Mm-hmm.
Well, last week, probably people know that PG&E intentionally cut the power of 900,000 of their clients mm-hmm. all at the same time. And when that happens, that really makes you realize how important electricity is. Mm-hmm. And, you know, if you have a freezer, it runs on electricity. If you have a well and it runs on a pump, that is, you know, that runs on electricity. And if without, you know, that you don't have any water and you don't have
any power.
Yeah. And I mean, there's a, it seems like the, there's so many things that we depend on electricity for mm-hmm. that it really stuck in the mind of a lot of these clients of, okay, well, if PG&E is going to do this intentionally for thousands, hundreds of thousands of people at one time, maybe they're not as reliable as I once thought. And mm-hmm. maybe I need to plan for that. And so we've been looking at different options. And
okay.
we've been, you know, looking at backup generators, and they are intended for, you know, not 60,000 people losing power at one time mm-hmm. when they're pulling natural gas out of the source and demand goes from, let's just say, 20,000 therms to 3 million therms in an instant. There's uh-huh. just not enough gas coming through the lines to supply everything.
So okay, I got it.
Yeah, and the generators are not, it's, they're not sophisticated enough to shut off when the gas stops. So they keep churning, and you know, they're an engine, and so they keep running without gas, and it can do some damage to the generator. So not a great option there.
So is that what you saw happening, that in an instant all of those gas power generators said big suction yep. noise came, and they said, we need gas, and then they all just failed because of it?
I wouldn't say all failed, but I mean, we definitely saw that. And it's, and then if you, you know, in that area, if you have, say, three generator technicians, and they're used to getting two or three calls a week, and it goes to 60,000 calls immediately, nothing they can do.
Yeah.
It's really brutal. So now, you know, we're looking at these portable battery powers where it's kind of, you plug them into the wall. Mm-hmm. They charge up over a certain amount of time. And then when the power fails, the batteries kick on. And we're looking strongly at those. The more we investigated, the more we're seeing that these are still kind of in the experimental phase. Mm. not a great thing to let the customer know if they're going to be investing, you know, another $10,000 that
yikes,
it's got to be proven. So we kind of put that one on hold. And in previous podcasts, I've been not in favor of batteries,
right?
Solar, mm-hmm. Just because they're so expensive. But when the utility cuts power intentionally for hundreds of thousands of people, they need to have something. And so the batteries seem to be kind of the best of the bad options. They are expensive.
Yeah.
And 10 kilowatt hours is about the size of these backup batteries, which is enough to run a refrigerator, you know, home internet, and maybe a few lights. And it is not enough to run everything that people are expecting. And they only discharge at 5 kilowatts. So it's not a whole lot of power that it can supply mm-hmm. At one time. The nice thing is that with solar, though, they are charging up throughout the day. And it should be enough power to get people through the night and the daytime, especially during the summer, fall, but in the winter,
when the power
go really low, it's going to be really challenging. And so we are recommending now with every one of our solar projects, one battery, probably two is what people need now. So solar was, you know, it wasn't a want, or I mean, it was a want, it wasn't a need. With PG&E cutting the power like this, it is becoming a need.
Yeah.
And I was just talking to a mortgage guy who is now seeing the light but he's really seeing is how much additional value does a solar panel system now add thanks to mm-hmm. PG&E? Because if it goes from a want to a need, if you buy a house that doesn't have it, that means you are exposed. And so like I said, the PG&E power outage, I don't even think they envisioned how much this is going to change the landscape, but and we thank them. It's yeah. It's because our phones are ringing. My phone has been ringing 3 times since we've been in the last 8 minutes.
Oh my god. So, great.
We can, I mean, it's great for solar, and that means solar is going to, you know, there's no end for solar.
So I have a tangential question then.
Okay.
What about windmills? Like there's got to be like a house windmill. No?
It is. It's just wind is pretty fickle. Mm-hmm. You need a minimum of 15 to 18 miles per hour consistently for it to generate enough wind power to make it worth it. So we really favor solar because in California, yeah, we live in solar heaven. We know we're gonna have 300 sunny days a year minimum, and that is a lot of sun. With the wind, you know, it can wind and wind can come and go, right? But we definitely know, except on the coast, where it is certainly windy enough to run wind turbines. But.
Wow. This is, you know, you're trying to see which, like, horse is going to be able to run in this race. Goodness.
Somebody's got to come up with a better battery is my thing. But right now, if somebody is desperate, you know, unfortunately, if they're desperate, we can do batteries with solar. And that would provide enough power for them to somewhat stay living. It's not a perfect solution, even with two batteries. So running air conditioning or running a hot tub or something like that is going to be really, a super luxury.
So now the precedent has been set. This precedent means next year it's going to happen again. It'll happen probably at least twice next year just because of the... Now it happened once, so we can expect this, I think, next year, probably twice, two different weeks. And then in California, especially Northern California, and then it'll happen again. I mean, the liability, I guess, exposure is so large that PG&E can just turn it all off. That's what their thinking is.
I agree, and it's it is certainly PG&E letting everyone know who's in charge.
Yeah.
People can go 2 days really without power.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. 4 days, they've lost everything in their freezer.
Yes. Yeah.
You know, 5-6 days, they've lost everything in the refrigerator. And then 7-8 days, now it's getting bad.
Well, it's not just homes. It's not just homes, though. It's also businesses, supermarkets. I mean, it's...
Restaurants.
Yeah.
So...
Yeah. Centers of food.
Where do you go? And PG&E's advice is go to an area that does have power. So, sending 900,000 people. And a lot of these people are on, you know, life, you know, the breathing apparatus and CPAP machines, mm-hmm, and all these things that run on electricity, that if they don't have them, they are in major trouble. So
yeah,
it's solar and batteries are going from, it'd be nice to have and reduce my overall cost of living, to now, oh my God, I could be without power and I need to, I need power. I need electricity.
Yeah.
So, I think this is going to be, a big deal. Biggest game changer in solar history.
Wow.
Happened last week.
Yep. Oh, boy.
So there you go.
Sounds like a great title of the podcast.
Oh, right. My gosh.
Biggest game changer in solar history.
Yeah. Yep.
Courtesy. Yep. Courtesy of our friends at PG&E.
Well, yeah, it's a mess. It's a mess. But the good news is, if people do go solar with one or two batteries, mm-hmm, that's a light at the end of the tunnel. But comparing that to, because people right now, when they go solar, they're comparing, what am I paying now to, mm-hmm, what I would save? And now it's going to be, well, what will it cost me if I lose my power for 2 days, four days, 7 days, 14 days? If power went out for 14 days, we'd have the zombie apocalypse.
Oh.
And people would be...
Yeah.
Breaking down doors and rioting and so forth. So, I mean, we're 2 weeks away from that, which is pretty frightening.
Yeah. My kids do get like that after a day of no phone use.
Oh, my God. I was not even talking about the kids in there. Ah. Oh, my God. I need a solar charger for my phone.
Another arm of solar harmonics is just.
No, created. I want to get the one that you run in place and that charges up. Ah.
One of those old Schwinn bikes. All right.
Yeah. You got a little turbine on there. But yeah, that would be very funny to get a run in place that charges up the phone charger.
Wow. I think everyone's going to be like me after this podcast, go right to Amazon, search for solar power charged or what? Solar. iPhone
you find
charger.
Something better than the Solar Edge. plus a LG Chem 10 kilowatt battery, let me know. But from everything I'm seeing, that is the most reliable system. Mm-hmm. And holy macaroni, it's going to be, unfortunately, I think it's going to be standard operating equipment. Solar is supposed to, is required on new homes starting January 1st, 2020. Mm-hmm. I would not be surprised within 3 years that solar plus battery will be required on every home.
Wow.
Yeah.
Luckily, we're a first world country. Or wait, is this a hashtag first world problem? One of those things?
It is. This is the first world problem because we're so used to electricity and turning on the light switch, not caring where that power came from, whether it was solar, hydroelectric, or nuclear. Mm-hmm. None of that matters now because PG&E can just decide to turn off the power for 900,000 people.
Wow.
That's like, what's a city? Like city of San Jose getting turned off all at once for several days. I think it was 3 or 4 days in some areas, and it caused major trouble.
We got to get Andrew Yang on this one. Come on, he's got a solution. I guess it's just more batteries.
Possibly. I don't know.
All right, I'll call him up, see if we can get him on the next week's podcast.
That would be great. I would love to have any of these candidates and talk about their plan. And even Governor Newsom, I'd love to get on his or have him on the show. And
we can, me too.
Discuss what is going to happen when he is the governor of the zombie apocalypse. So.
Well, that'd first step, look like Batman. That's how you get elected, I think. He's amazing. Look like Batman. Wow. Okay. Anyway, I guess we're going to wrap it up there.
Yep, okay? That's a good spot. That's a nice long podcast to severely depress everyone. Good news is solar is the hope. Solar harmonics and solar with batteries. That's what we're going to need, at least for now.
All right, we're going to end it on that point. Then please follow us on Facebook. Send us your questions, comments, concerns through Facebook. If you want to give us a 5-star rating on iTunes, that would be awesome. We'll give you a virtual high five for that and a fist bump as well. So thanks a lot, Jamie. Have a great day.
All right. See you next week.
That's all for now. Thank you for listening to this episode of Straight Talk Solarcast with solar expert Jamie Duran. Join us each week for more answers to your solar questions. Speaking of questions, got some? Email us at solarcast@solarharmonics.com and we'll be sure to give you an answer in an upcoming episode. This episode of Straight Talk Solarcast is brought to you by Solar Harmonics, the leading solar energy developer in Northern California, who invite you to own your energy. Visit them on the web at www.solarharmonics.com.
The podcast you just heard was made using Anchor. Ever thought about making your own podcast? Anchor makes it really easy for anyone to get started. It's a one-stop shop for recording, hosting, and distributing podcasts. Best of all, it's 100% free. Sign up now at anchor.fm/new. That's anchor.fm/new to get started.